Numbers chapter 17. Numbers 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and get from them a rod for each father's household, 12 rods from all their fathers according to their family, to their father's households. You shall write each name on his rod, and Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, for there is one rod for the head of each of their father's households. You shall then deposit them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. Now it come about that the rod of the man whom I choose will sprout. Thus I shall lessen from them upon myself the grumblings of the sons of Israel who are grumbling against you." Moses therefore spoke to the sons of Israel, and all their leaders gave him a rod apiece, for each leader according to their father's households, 12 rods, with the rod of Aaron among their rods. So Moses deposited the rods before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. Now it came about on the next day that Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Moses then brought out all the rods from the presence of the Lord to all the sons of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put an end to their grumblings against me, so they should not die." Thus Moses did just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Then the sons of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Behold, we perish. We are dying. We are all dying. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Are we to perish completely?" Amen. So chapter 17, if you want to get an idea of how this is being structured, from 1636 is really the defense of Aaron. And if you remember from the last chapter, Korah was a bit upset that Aaron would be the one that's going to carry on the head of the Levitical priesthood, and he felt that, you know, it shouldn't be him. It should be someone. Actually, he felt it should be himself, even though he's the second son. And so, you know, like I said yesterday, when you start moving into this kind of spirit, your mind gets very, you know, twirly and twisty, and you don't make any sense. And so, from 36 on is really the defense of Aaron that God brings forth. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but. So the rod, these rods, actually, this was actually quite common in Egyptian culture, and leaders would have rods, and they would inscribe their names on it, and so they're borrowing a bit from what they're used to in Egypt, but God has a very distinct purpose. In other words, he's using something that they're familiar with to express something beyond their ability to understand, in essence. And so what happens is, they take these 12 rods, 12, Aaron's could have been 13th, I don't know. Aaron's could have been the 12th, we don't quite know fully. And so I want you to write your name on it and bring all those rods into the tabernacle, and then God's going to cause one of them to sprout. And then which one sprouts, you'll know that this is who I've chosen to minister in the tabernacle. And pretty fair. You'll find that throughout history, Israel history, that God has gone to these types of measures to prove that he is God. And so we see it in Elijah at Mount Carmel, especially in the midst of apostasy. In other words, people have turned away from God, and God seems to have this way of bringing them back, in a sense. But notice, the key, it's not really God saying, "Hey, I'm God, back off." But it's actually to draw people closer to him. And so in Elijah, he does the same thing. And what he does here with the buds on the staff really is an act of mercy to say, "Hey, I don't want to punish these people anymore, so I'm going to give them a definitive sign here that now they have to follow. They either follow or they don't." And so, you know, a miracle in such a sense that is incontrovertible. You can't deny that this happened. I mean, think about this miracle. I mean, it's crazy, right? You have this stick, and most families that they would have, the stick would be quite ancient. It would be really old. So it's not something that just say, on any chance, I mean, it's still a miracle upon miracles, but in just any chance, it's a newly cut stick. No, it's usually an ancient stick, and they bring it in, they bring it into the tabernacle. In the morning, it grows buds, sprouts, leaves, and fully grown almonds. That's crazy, man. I mean, that's crazy. But, I mean, if God can, you know, Holy Spirit can impregnate a sinful woman and create a sinless person, Jesus, God can do anything, right? And so precisely what happens, and it's this definitive sign to the Israelites that, yes, Aaron is my chosen vessel. And from this day forward, you will not grumble against Aaron. And from this day forward, they never grumble against Aaron. Against Moses, yes. Right? Against, you know, against God, yes. But against Aaron, there's not much grumbling that happens. So let's talk about the staff for a moment. Throughout history, going from Old Testament, New Testament, the staff represented a couple of different things. And most likely the best depiction of this is probably in the New Testament, dealing with the shepherd's staff, or even, you know, going back to the times of David. And the staff meant a couple of different things. One, it meant authority. And so it was the authority of the shepherd, the authority of the king, authority of the prince of the family. But it always represented some form of authority that was laid out. The second part there was it represented discipline. And it was the staff of discipline. And so the sheep came under its staff. It was kind of a part of a choosing in a way as well. And thus we have the Hebrews passage that because you're sons, in other words, because God has chosen you as sons and daughters, that's why a father disciplines you. And so it was authority and also represented the rod of discipline. And so those things kind of went hand in hand. And that's really, if you think about what a spiritual leader does, that's precisely it. There's authority given by God, and they administer the discipline of the Lord. And so those things kind of go hand in hand. And so as followers, we ought not to take lightly the discipline of the Lord, you know, nor the discipline of your leaders in a way. I mean, hopefully your leaders are not, you know, Nazis, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that's a really bad word, but, you know, they're just not there to punish you all the time, and that the discipline is carried out lovingly. I mean, that's always what we pray for, and hopefully, you know, what's happening here at SP. But that's the simple reality, is the authority and the discipline. Going forth, you know, in that regard, let's talk about the Ark of the Testimony a little bit. We notice that Aaron's rod is one of the items that ends up being in the Ark of the Testimony. Do you remember those three items? It was the jar of manna, it was the Ten Commandments, and it was Aaron's rod. You know, I taught on this many times before. It's miraculous provision, the manna; miraculous power, the rod; and miraculous word, which is the Ten Commandments. And these things, God's miraculous provision, his miraculous power, and his miraculous word, this makes up the presence of the test. In other words, the resting present glory of God. And so when we're walking in God's presence, when we're walking in God's presence is a good word, but, you know, we're walking in God's ways in this regard, you can be assured there's three things that are going to accompany his presence: his miraculous provision, his miraculous power, and his miraculous word. That's powerful, you know, in our lives. That means these are the elements by which, when we say, man, I can feel the presence of the Lord, you know, on me, it's more than just a feeling. It's God's promise that his miraculous word, in other words, the scriptures, his commandments are going to speak forth, and it's going to be powerful and bring change. His miraculous provision, that God's going to watch over you and provide for you, and God's miraculous power, his power is going to cover you. And so I want us to have a more of a wide-ranging idea of what we talk about when we talk about the presence of God. It's not just a feeling that we get, and that's part of it, but it's also the promise of God to bring his word, his power, and his provision to every single one of us. And in this regard, I mean, these guys now, they have a proof, they have a sign that, yes, truly, Aaron is the one that is chosen, and they pretty much calm down at this stage. And this is something, you know, like I said, remember the scriptures tell us in Mark chapter 16 that these signs shall follow those that believe. And there's something about God backing up his people, especially when you have different kind of disputes and things happen. You know, when I was a really, really young youth pastor, and it was I had this episode, and now that I look back, it wasn't really that traumatic. But when I was in the midst of it, it seemed really traumatic to me. So I just share my story. We took a bunch of teachers, our staff, and then a bunch of other teachers from different ministries in the church. We went out and we did a retreat, and we went out to the retreat, and the Holy Spirit showed up. I mean, it was powerful. Just the glory of God came in, and people were, repenting. People were confessing their sins. People were just laid out on the floor, just like, I thought they were dead. We had basically a charismatic revival happen, and something that, you know, that I was very, very new to at that time. And so we went back to church, and so my boss, who's our education pastor, we're talking, and I share with him everything's going on. I'm totally excited. We had a bunch of people that teachers that came from the elementary department. And for whatever reason, the elementary pastor really didn't like me that much. And she had some serious issues, because I was a really good guy back then. I mean, I'm still a good guy now, but I mean, so she had some issues. And what ended up happening is that she started blasting, you know, I mean, we had this, I mean, her teachers, her staff had miracles happen to them. You know, and then she came back, and she basically told the education pastor of all these things that I had done, which were like, you know, bad theology, which is totally not true. And I felt like I felt totally accused of a lot of these different things. And then on the worst part of it, my education pastor, because I was new to the staff, you know, kind of sided with her instead of with me, and even though there's fruit. And so I was really hurt by that. And my first instinct is I want to lash out, you know, and I want to confront, because that's kind of my nature, right? I'm very competitive, and so, you know, I have no problem with confrontation. And so, you know, I'm come face to face, and I just felt like the Lord saying, no, just be quiet. You know, just be quiet and let me take care of this. And so I said, okay, totally against my nature. And I just was quiet. And then that Sunday, the education pastor was preaching a message. And I guess over the you know, because we used to have a Wednesday night staff meeting, because I was working full time at a bank. And then by Sunday, God had really been working on him and just really moving in his heart. And so in his message, and this is when, like, everyone, all the staff, everyone, you know, it was English ministry, so all the teachers, all the pastors, even herself, they needed to be at this service, and he totally vindicates. I mean, you know, he basically repented publicly, you know, about his feelings, and he was just quite forthright, and I felt totally vindicated. And I remember it was such a surreal moment for me. After service, I just went up to the front, to the altar, and I just wept. You know, and I'm looking back, it was not such a big deal, but, you know, as a young pastor, it's like your first episode of trial, you know, that you go through. And I realized, man, God really got my back. And it kind of really very much changed the posture that I take a lot of times now. And now I'm not so easy to confront people anymore. I just always pray, God, you take care of it. Or especially when I feel like, you know, I'm being mishandled or misjudged, or, you know, or those type of things. I mean, trust me, there's sometimes you gotta speak forth, but a lot of times it says, God, you just go ahead and do it. And God, you'll find out God is very, very good at protecting and taking care of His own. You know what I mean? And so if you ever get into a situation where you're being manhandled and you're being accused falsely and whatnot, you know, go to the Lord. I mean, really go to the Lord. I'm sure Moses and Aaron spent a lot of time just trying to figure out what to do and go before God. And God is the one that vindicates, right? Vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. And so you can choose, I mean, real simply, you can choose to avenge yourself or you can choose to have God avenge you. I don't know about you, but I chose the latter part. And it's something that's quite prominent through the scriptures. You see this happen with Mordecai. Mordecai is confronted by Haman, and you know he's going to kill not just him but all of Israel. But Mordecai is really the instigator in Haman's mind of all of these things. And so, what does Mordecai do? He calls Israel to prayer and fasting. And what does God do? God totally vindicates him. I mean, actually literally gives him Haman's job, his house, his signet ring, and the very gallows by which Haman built to hang Mordecai, Haman is hung. I mean, talking about a complete vindication in this regard. And just like in this story with Aaron, if God chose you, I mean, if this is, you know, part of God's plan, difficulties are going to come your way. It's just we live in a sinful world, but fear not, God is with us, and God will vindicate us. You know, and just be very wise in the way we go about things. I mean, there's going to be times that you're going to have to speak and you're going to have to confront, you know, but best is allow the Lord to do that on your behalf. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Are you in a moment that maybe at your workplace or maybe in a relationship or maybe at church, ministry or something, and you are being accused falsely? It happens. Even at our church, it happens. You're being judged unfairly. You're being gossiped about. Take it to the Lord. Surrender to God. This is what I would do if I was in your situation. The first thing I would do is I would pray Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there are any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. In other words, Lord, is there any truth to these accusations? Or is there anything that's in my heart that you want me to be cleansed of? And so you do a heart check. Now, if you go through that and there's nothing there, God's dealt, and it's just totally something else, then you go to God and say, God, I mean, really simply, listen to their voices, Lord. They're speaking falsehood. I'm being accused falsely. So God, do your work. That's pretty much 30% of the book of Psalms. Oh, I should say 30% of David's Psalms, where he says, God, you see these guys? You see what they're doing? Lord, avenge me. Lord, do your work. God, have mercy on me. And you watch what God does on our behalf. Not for vengeance sake, but for justice. And so if you're going through a time like that, search your heart and then give it to God. And He'll give you wisdom. There may be a time you might have to confront these people speaking truth and love. That might happen. But you go to the Lord and let Him lead you and guide you instead of running off on our own passions. Let's pray. Faithful one. Talking about, maybe you're being accused falsely, or you know, things are going on in your life, maybe at work, at home, in a relationship, or even at church. Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. He will watch over you. He will protect your reputation. And so if you're in a situation like Moses and Aaron, where people are grumbling against you, well, let God defend you. And so let's submit whatever situation. Maybe this is not for you. Maybe you know somebody that's in this situation. Pray for them. And ask them to submit it before God and let God do the work. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community as they're battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word over them, comfort and strength for their families as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet Jesus. Huh? Let's lift up physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's ill. Oh, let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for our missions. Let's pray for China today. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for God's continuing hand over them. They're growing a little too fast right now. They're up to about 150. And so they're starting a second service right after Chinese New Year. And so let's pray. Space is a huge issue right now. But let's continue to ask God's blessing over the leadership there. Let's pray for Jessie. She's actually here in Hong Kong right now and getting some stuff done and ready to go back to China. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. And let's ask God's hand be upon our friends ministering in China. And let's pray for the Spirit of God to breathe life over this place as well. Let's pray. Pray for the board. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our leadership. Pray protection over their families and their possessions. And just ask the Holy Spirit to really speak and move through this group. We also are in the process of praying for a couple more board members. And let's pray over that process as well. Let's lift up. Thank you. our hospitality ministries, welcoming and barista. Let's pray for God's a hand upon them, truly that they would really serve the Lord with all their heart and not just welcome, but be the connection to new people here to the church. Let's lift up. House Church tonight, Causeway Bay Elements, Happy Valley Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Lion Rock, and Tai Hang. And let's ask God's hand to be upon each of our house churches. Let's pray for Leo this morning. Let's pray for mom's salvation. Let's pray that he would find an ideal job here in Hong Kong and that God would bless his impending marriage with Ina. Let's pray for Leo. Pray for Thaddeus. Let's pray for salvation of Yiling and his family. Pray for courage to step out of comfort zone in all aspects of his life, to have no fear and obey God when he shows the way, and for complete healing of his feet and to have no more pain. Let's pray for Thaddeus. Marriott. Pray for job, health, and well-being of his wife, Gigi. Pray for the health and well-being of his mom. Pray that any pains in her body, particularly in her leg area, will go away. Pray for God's direction in his life, that he would like to know where he wants him and where he will be heading. So let's lift up Paul. Lastly, let's pray for Christina, as we've been doing. You guys are doing a great job praying. Her report came out very, very well. She's going to be released on Thursday. And so, no signs. It's amazing. And so, praise God. Let's just continue to finish through and ask God's complete. She needs 24-hour rest from her time. So, pray that she still continue to get rest and for her hip. Let's lift up. We thank you this morning. We thank you that you are the avenger of our lives, God. Lord, whenever we're being accused falsely, God, or manhandled, Lord, unjustly, we thank you, Lord, that you are the shepherd, God, and you cover your sheep. And so help us, many of us that are in these situations right now, Lord, protect them, guide them, love them, and comfort them, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow. Friday, we'll be breaking our fast together with communion, and we'll have some congee for everyone. And so be prepared for Friday morning, okay? Bless you guys.